God to help me. I can't do it all by myself. You got to help me, baby. I can't do it all by myself. You know, if you don't help me, darling, I'll have to find myself somebody else. I may have to wash it. May have to sew. I may have to cook. I might mop the floor. But you help me, baby. You know, if you don't help me, darling, I'll find myself somebody else. Check. Put on your morning gown.
caranguejo conversar com o urubu.
Fly away, fly away. 体中に広がるパノラマ。顔を蹴られた地球が起こって、火山を爆発させる。
Hello, hello. This is Nectar Island starting with a bang. Starting with Shala, hey Shala, with Dragon Ball Z team. And I'm here, I'm Raphael. I'm not, Christian's not here, so
I am holding the fort.
Yeah, I'm holding the fort.
Yeah.
It's like, and you know what? Like, I started, like, I'm here with Simon. Hey, Simon, how are you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello.
Steve-O.
Hey.
And Oscar. I forgot the name of the show, man. What show comes
before? Mind Out. It's the Mind Out show.
Mind Out
show. It's our new regular 6 to 7 on the first Thursdays of the month here on K2K Radio.
That's amazing. You know, like, I have tried to do kind of like, you know, to be the counterpoint of, because, you know, I came here, it was just like a rave, and then I slowed down to the blues, and then I started like playing the Dragon Ball Z team, and now we're ready to talk now.
Yeah, but do you know what? After the Mind Out show, I feel buzzed. I was like full of energy, you know? It was great.
Well, yeah. Let's keep the energy going then.
It's just like, I'm ashamed of, like, I'm not going to compete with this. I'm just going to go the opposite direction and just talk.
No. I'm sure we'll come up with the topics that will get us passionate.
Plenty of energy to you, my friend.
On that point, like, I started with hello, because one of my friends that listened to the show kind of like regularly, like every month, she said, like, where's the show, and I sent the link to her. She, when I was by myself last time, I started like, hey, this is Nectar Island, something like that, and she's like, why did you start that way? Like, the trademark started with hello, because Christian always starts with hello, this is Nectar Island.
Trademarking the,
so I'm carrying the torch, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm doing this, man.
I like it. Good.
Taking care of the brand, you know.
Brand Nectar.
Yeah. How are you guys doing? Like, how was Easter for you guys? Bank holiday. Sun is, you know, British summertime.
Easter was good, actually. I was up in the Lake District earlier this week because I was dropping my daughter off for her Duke of Edinburgh Gold practice run. So we drove up in the rain.
What is this, like a marathon?
No, it's kind of like a... It's almost kind of like doing the Boy Scouts type thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what the Boy Scouts are.
You basically do,
there's various things you do and you get an award for it, and you can do like a bronze, a silver, and the pinnacle is a gold. And it's for young people to do. They do volunteering skills.
So crafts and crafting, right? Like woodworking, this kind of stuff?
No crafting. Right. You got to do volunteer, a skill, a expedition, and like... I think some of the community work or something, as well as the volunteering.
It's to make you a well-rounded, fantastic contributor to the community.
Introduced by the Duke of Edinburgh, basically Queen Elizabeth's husband. The guy who always put his foot in it.
But you know, I think there's good sentiment behind it. I think it's
They're buzzed. But as I said, the overriding thing was that, man, it was chucking it.
But they're not scouts, right? Like, they're a different group.
This is different to the scout. But you're getting outdoors, and they got to do navigation and sleep in tents and all that kind of.
Oh,
thing.
That's cool.
So it's like a 4-5 night expedition that they're navigation expedition that they're doing. But as I said, I just keep looking at it. It's like it's just chucking it with rain. And the worst, but the
are
worst
are they there
bit,
now?
Yeah. So the worst bit is we get up there on Monday and we check into the hotel and we're watching TV. And on TV, there's an advert for a new reality program called Lake District Rescue. So laughing, so you can already imagine what this program is. Essentially, the premise of the program is like people need to get rescued because they've done, you know, dumb stuff or the weather's come in. So, but me and Corey Weaker are watching this, and Corey Weaker's like, oh man, thanks a lot. I'm going, you know, I'm going up there tomorrow. This is just what I need. So I was like, oh man, unbelievable timing. So,
at least they're looking for some.
I'm chewing my nails.
At least they're rescuing people. They're still rescuing people. You know,
well, like, yeah, as far as I know,
if something happened, people are looking.
Helicopters.
At
they got some sort of budget there, up there. So it was a little bit, but I was like, oh,
you
goodness,
got to find my phone on like, you know, on pure tracker.
Yeah. No, because they got to Ziploc all their phones and everything. They got to can't take the phones or anything. So. It's
that's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's kind of like the modern teaching system, isn't it? I mean, why are people still teaching people how to handwrite? I mean, what's the point?
Good discussion.
Why are you opening it up?
Why aren't they
teaching more useful skills and spending time on skills that are actually relevant? You know,
but if you don't have like electric energy, you have to
exactly how to
followers. Come on, branding.
How to build your brand.
100%.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, listen. Maybe it's a little bit extreme, but the teaching system is antiquated. Technology in the world has moved on so quickly, and why are they teaching all of these kind of old skills and habits just because it's the right thing to do?
I agree with your sentiment there. I'm not sure about transposing it into being out. No, transposing it between being out in the wilderness and trying to navigate and survive. Once your phone dies, you're not able to charge it.
You know me. I'm like, you know, backcountry Dan if I want to be. I love all that stuff. I love like stripping back and, you know, I want to go off grid. I want to disappear. You know, I want to live without all this kind of stuff. But just arguing to be a bit argumentative.
I agree with the sentiment.
Let them watch Netflix at night, streaming on their phone in the middle of the wilderness. Give them happiness, you know.
Yeah.
Let
them watch sunset. What is it? Selling sunset while on top of a mountain, you know.
But you know, like I think there is kind of like. I don't know. It's something about the education of like the basic skills of like I don't know, making fire or like seeing the stars, looking at the constellations.
It's stripping it all back. I mean, that's just amazing. You know, to appreciate those things.
The other thing is teamwork. So relationship building, teamwork, going through a difficult period.
Cyberbullying on the side of the hill. How badly can I traumatize my friend?
let me troll my buddies. Yeah.
Oh, wait, they're in the tent next door. Oops.
Yeah, I got to sleep with them. Sleep in the same tent as them tonight. Yeah. So that was... So to answer your question in a roundabout way, that was what my Easter consisted of.
Cool, man. No, but I think, like, strangely, it has something to do with, like, I don't know, because we're talking about, like, basic skills and being outdoors and all this kind of stuff, and I started here like we faded away in the middle of like the theme song for Dragon Ball, and that's kind of like something that, you know, first of all, like I think Showa posted something about Akira Toriyama died last month, the creator, and but then like I started to think about it, and this kind of like anime series like Dragon Ball or there's like this prime time anime. They have like 900 episodes or something like that.
Wow!
And I remember, like, I grew up with that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and it's so different from I think like what people grew up nowadays. Like, even the value system has changed a little bit in a sense of like, you know, I don't know about animes because I don't follow, but I think like Dragon Ball is an integral part of my formation years, and I think like it's I don't know. It worked all right, I think. I don't know.
I've never seen it, so I think.
So that's the thing. Like, I don't think your
Dragon
generation
Ball
has
came after me.
What have you watched like growing up in a sense of like the TVs or superheroes or this kind of stuff?
That's a good question.
Mighty Mouse.
I know it well, yeah. So,
Banana Man.
Dog Tanyan.
Dog Tanyan, the three Muska Hounds.
But not like, not just the Japanese stuff, I think Jiban or Black Kamen Rider or this kind of stuff.
I'm going to age myself because I actually went to the cinema when Akira first came out.
Okay,
so,
Akira's cool.
That was, and I got to be honest, that blew my mind. So, you know, just the level of animation back then. But in terms of like
Monkey Magic, we used to watch Monkey Magic as kids.
Yeah. What is Monkey Magic?
No, I didn't watch Monkey Magic. Yeah. That was like a UK thing, I think.
It wasn't animated. It was acted. But it was these kind of mythical Chinese characters who based their kind of their world around. They were a troupe. There was kung fu. It was martial arts, and they were all very. They were all very odd characters with different special.
But it was like it is British or Japanese?
No. It's dubbed Japanese. Is it Japanese?
I'm honestly.
I can't remember.
Oh, so, but that's kind of very interesting because I think like I don't know how much because in Brazil people really watch anime or Japanese stuff that just come kind of like from daytime TV. Okay. It's all dubbed, but like Dragon Ball is or something like that. There's something that I arrived from school to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, and then like it had 900 episodes. So we go through kind of like 5 years of that thing. And now I think people are watching Naruto. That's kind of like the same, kind of like a ripoff from Dragon Ball in the sense of like the coming of age of a boy with a superpower, and then he has a demon inside and has like Japanese mythology all around it. Right. But I think like it's different from where we're coming from because I think in America you didn't have much of Japanese animation coming towards the television in a sense, right?
Like, well, no, I mean, when I was in the United States, that's a long time ago. So that's, you know, late 70s, early 80s. So it's all American animation. I mean, it's, you know,
X-Men or something like that, or not even X-Men, right?
No, Scooby-Doo. Okay. I mean, like, it'd be the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Like, Scooby-Doo's the big one that comes to my mind. And then, you know, and then I guess it ends up kind of getting a bit more sophisticated, but I must admit, I'm drawing a blank. Anything else?
Yes, you're right. I don't even forgot about Scooby-Doo.
I think like kids nowadays just play Roblox and this kind of stuff, right? Like they follow some. Is there something that's famous?
So interestingly, my kids love a US TV. They're watching quite a lot of US stuff. They really like Cat and something. It's got Ariana Grande in it. Cat and Sam, Cat and Sam. They like all these sort of.
Is that like an old Disney one?
Yeah. And then you've got like some of these really awful sort of cheeseball-y kind of American family dramas, you know, but they're kind of kid family dramas. They're awful, but they quite like them.
Are they watching Gilmore Girls yet?
There's a reboot, right? Like Gilmore Girls.
Oh, is there? Oh, okay. Gilmore Girls is good. It's got like some good for a series. It's got some good.
Yeah, I mean they like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, which is, I mean, I think it's really great. It's really well written. It's very funny. So, you know, they probably watched it way too young for when they should be watching it. But hey, they enjoyed it.
Do you think the market? Of course, it changes in a way. Like you have more options, but you don't have anything it's just like in Brazil, you have like the novellas, the soap operas, in a sense of like we grew up. The television has like this. Okay, 7 o'clock starts the 7 o'clock soap opera, something like that.
But I mean, historically in this country, you had a similar thing.
I think so, right?
Like,
but nowadays I think it's dissipated in a sense of like there's no, like, you can choose what to watch, but people are not watching the same thing at the same time.
No, appointment television is kind of as a thing of the past.
I like that appointment television.
It's not my thing. It's they used to talk about it, like, certainly when like when The Sopranos came out in the United States, I was living in New York City, and I must admit, I didn't watch it. But like Sunday night, 9 p.m. on HBO, that was appointment TV. Yeah. Everybody sat down to watch The Sopranos at 9 p.m. And then at 10 p.m., then stuff kind of, I'm trying to think, The Wire was like at 10 o'clock on a Sunday,
I quite like the Netflix, or it's maybe not Netflix. No, they just release everything, don't they, Netflix? But
it depends on the series. It depends nowadays.
The Apple TV, they release there once a week. So, you know, Masters of the Air, for example, you know, that was once a week.
True.
Constellation, they're doing, you know, once a week. And it's quite nice in a way because you just, you know, I like to binge. And, you know, we've just gone back. We're on a bit of a war footing at the moment in our house, and we've gone back. So we watched Masters of the Air, and then we went, okay, let's let's go check out Band of Brothers. So we went back to and watched this, you know, and Band of Brothers was all there, so we just binged it. But it was nice to have that. It was great to binge it because we really got into it, got into the characters. Uh-huh. But I did enjoy that kind of point where we're like, oh, it's Friday. They've released the next version.
Yeah,
so that's as close to the appointment that we'd get in that we'd have to wait till Friday for it to come out. And then
yeah, I always make the point of like, my wife loves binging and I don't. I just like, I want to watch one episode and then think about it afterwards and then kind of like make a tea or something like that and then just forget about the episode and then think about it. And then one per day is good enough, but she gets really mad at me. You know, so like,
but I think it depends on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Like because I think, you know, kind of to go back to The Wire, right? So you know, The Wire was not massively successful when it originally aired on television.
True.
I think where it found its audience was when it started to get released on DVD, and that was precisely because you could binge it. So you could hit 3 hours of it because there's so many characters. You know, there's so, you know, if you had to remember like every character and what was happening the week before, even with the kind of the preamble that they do, you know, it just becomes, you know, being able to watch it in a 3 hour stretch just meant you could really start to get into the characters.
You build the threads,
yeah. So I guess it depends how.
Have you seen The Wire, Oscar?
I haven't seen The Wire yet.
Oh.
But I guess it depends how the series is written. So, because I think there's differences to, like, if you, like, just to go out on a kind of a flippant thing, is like a program like The OC, right? Well, I don't know if you ever heard of The OC.
Yeah, of course I watched it.
Yeah, okay. So, but if you
truly bizarre television,
but if you binge watch that, it's really weird because, like, the characters, they're like, wait a minute, like somebody nearly died in the last episode and now you've completely forgotten about it in this episode and moved on to the next thing. And like, wait, last episode, wasn't he sleeping with her? And now you're sleeping and nobody, you know, and it's because, you know, the way it's written is, you know, it's...
It plays in the memory of the...
Exactly.
They're not going to remember this.
It's just, you're going to look at it differently. So, binge-watching some programs, just it can get a little bit bizarre. If they weren't supposed to be written like that. So
I think a newer show that has the same thing about like the not being a success before and then becoming a hit show was Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was a success at Showtime before going to Netflix and people could binge and say like, this is because there's like cliffhangers that you need to watch the next one. That you need to watch the next one because
I kind of feel like that. Well, at least in the United States, I think Breaking Bad, if I remember, I think it took a while to find its audience on Showtime, but then once it like after a few seasons, people really got into it. And then it, like The Sopranos, they were kind of like waiting for it to come. Was my, at least in the United States, that's my memory.
Yeah, I think you might be right, but I think like this, and that's, but that's the thing. Like they always do that, like as an example of like, because people started watching. I think Showtime released the rights for Netflix to play it in a binge, so people were starting kind of people catch up on Netflix and then they went back to Showtime to watch like live basically. But I don't know, like I always think about it in a sense of like we changed the way we relate ourselves with content, that awful word, in a way that like and then like I was going back with like nostalgia with like watching the Dragon Ball thing, and I remember going to the cinema because they were releasing kind of films in between seasons, so a season ended and then there's a film, and I remember going to the cinema to watch Dragon Ball the film, the movie or something like that, and people in the beginning, when this starts playing, people were just all singing together in the cinema.
Oh, wow.
So there's like this kind of like communal, kind of like everybody's watching this thing. Yeah. And nowadays, kind of is getting harder and harder. I think it applies to music as well. It applies to everything because we have more options. So it's harder to have Michael Jackson, or it's harder to have like a big.
So they were releasing so much content on TV. So when they did the break and put the films out, what was the relationship of the film to the TV series?
There's no relationship at all.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like...
The same characters, maybe?
No, it's the same characters. but it didn't affect the TV show.
Yeah.
So it's like a new adventure. They're going for a new planet or something like that, and there's just a fight, but nobody died. Nobody did anything.
And I think like everyone's ready for the next series.
Yeah, but I think like that...
interestingly.
And everybody. And I think like that's kind of like interesting of like Japanese animation as well, because they deal with death a lot and with like struggle and death, and so there's not, it's for kids, but it's not, it's, it has a lot of layers. It's emotional, really. I remember like
So I watched Naruto as well. I started watching it when I was 15 years old. I ended like, and I was kind of like bootlegging everything because we didn't have access to the, like the, you know, the things that are playing in Japan. So I was doing like ripping off DVDs and with like Pirate Bay or something. And then I
finished. What are you talking about?
No, I know.
It's just K3K radio.
I'm sorry, yeah.
The views of the presenter don't necessarily represent the views of K3K radio.
I only did that in Brazil, so yeah, there's a different, you know, a different law. So the thing is that I finished watching it, 937 episodes, last year. So it took me like 20 years. to finish the show, right? And I remember like I was seeing like the last season, and now I got really emotional. It was like, because, you know, all things happen and blah blah blah, and then he becomes something else and he becomes like a new ninja or something like that. But that's kind of like, you know, it's silly, but that guy, I have been watching this guy for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like,
you're invested.
When it ends, it's like, oh my God, there's no more.
Is that more about the show or more about you?
I think both. Yeah. I think like that's the thing about these long running shows, right? Yeah. You get so used to it in a sense of like, and then when it ends, you're just like, ah, crap. I don't know. You know, it's a void.
My lifetime.
My lifetime. I spent 20 years watching this thing. But it's good. Good. Yeah, entertaining. And I think like I'm starting to present that to my nephew as well. So my nephew is 10 years old, and I'm starting to kind of like giving him Naruto stuff. Just like, because I think like it's a good. I don't know if it's good, but it has kind of like virtues. Like you need
Roblox.
You need to fight. You know, you need to kind of like, you know, develop your powers or something like that. I think it's a good mental place to be.
Are you trying to convince them that they've got superpowers?
I try to convince them. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You can move things
as
with your
long
mind.
As long as you struggle.
He's seen Matilda.
As long as you work hard enough. Work hard and you can achieve it.
It's all the same arch, right? Like, and that's like the mythology is all the same in everywhere. Yeah. Like, it can be Spider-Man or it can be, you know, Dragon Ball or Goku or something like that. Like, the things like they're repeating patterns that I think like is important for kids to watch, really. It was important for me.
It's imagination. It's fanciful. It's taking the mind away from kind of where they are.
But I think also I think to your point, it's also dealing with kind of things that people are going to have to face. So lots of dealing adversity, things not going perfectly, you know, having to make difficult decisions, and obviously it's kind of amped up and amplified, you know, in these programs, but these are things you're going to have to face. So,
yeah, I think like if you face that in an early age, through mythology, then maybe when life, you know, kicks you in the ass, you are just like, yeah, but I'm a ninja.
even Superman has kryptonite, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. But he's kind of like, what do you think about Superman?
He's a lame. He's a lame character. Lame. No complexity. So boring. And it's too many what ifs. You're like, well, wait a minute. If he's really super, how can he not? So the dude made it, you know what I mean?
I can imagine the conversation in your house with you and your brother.
So I think it's in one of the movies. In one of the movies, he actually makes the world rotate backwards. So you can go back in time. You're like, nah, that's just sorry, you know. That's just you're getting too ridiculous at that point. So too boring a hero.
Well, one thing I don't understand, like Batman against Superman, because that's kind of like there's no kind of like how can Batman, that is like a guy with a suit, beat up Superman?
He's got the smarts, man.
Yeah, but I know he wears the
kryptonite.
Nobody
says Superman's got a super brain, you know. And he's got kryptonite. That's there. You go. See, he's
but that's the only
kryptonite in that body armor.
Yeah. He's found the weakness. So
yeah, but that's the only flaw, man. You know, like the most flawed the guy, the better. I think, you know, like the superheroes.
Well, of course, that's what makes Batman such an intriguing character is that, you know. One, he doesn't have any special powers, but two, he is, you know, his intentions or his, you know, are questionable. you know, and you know,
revenge.
There's no, you know, there's questionable morality.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we just actually at the family we just rewatched the middle of the Christopher Nolan trilogy, The Dark Knight.
Okay.
And
it's amazing.
Oh, it's really my good. God, it stands up so well. What a great movie.
Yeah. This trilogy is the best thing Christopher Nolan ever directed. He never got back to that level of directing.
The relationship between him and the Joker is just incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's, but everybody delivers powerhouse performances.
Yeah. So, it's like a perfect superhero movie.
You know, Gary Oldman's fantastic in it. And then who's the guy who plays Harvey Dent?
The guy's really good.
He's got the big chin. Yeah. I can't remember his name.
He was really good.
And he's great in it.
Even Dawson Creek is great in it. Like the girl that's the Batman, that's the guy, love affair, right? Like
Maggie
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal?
It's not Maggie Gyllenhaal. No,
she's in
Dark Knight Rises. Not Dark Knight.
Batman Begins. It's Katie Holmes. Who I got to be honest is probably the weak point. I think if you were recasting the movie, you'd probably recast her role.
Yeah. I think she's just there to die.
Yeah. I think she's in Batman Begins, right? Sorry, I'm just.
I think so. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she's anyway, the point nurse. Being that The Dark Knight completely stands up to a rewatch. So,
yeah, of course. I think like even like the first 20 minutes of The Dark Knight, like the bank robbery, it's amazing. It's kind of like, you know, it sets the tone for the whole film.
So awesome.
Yeah, so it's awesome. Really good.
But anyway, going back to your point, the reason that Batman, you know, as a superhero, he is a complex character, which makes it interesting. Same with Spider-Man.
Okay, so Steve, but your favorite superhero is then is Batman. Like between Batman, Spider-Man, and Superman.
If you're asking me to rank them, probably Spider-Man top, Batman a close second, but and then Superman way down there. It doesn't even get a league.
What about you, Simon?
Batman.
Batman first.
Yep.
Spider-Man second.
Yeah, I'm not a Spider-Man fan.
Yeah, man.
I don't mind it, but I just.
He's a New Yorker. That's the thing.
I grew up reading Spider-Man comics because my brother collected comics. So we grew up reading like Spider-Man comics.
What is the best Spider-Man movie then? Like for that, the old ones or the new ones or the universe, super universe?
I'm not 100% sure that it. Excuse me. How much it would stand up to a complete rewatchables, but the first Sam Raimi one
with
Tobey Maguire was amazing because it was like the first time that actually technology could do the action justice.
Yeah, true.
So like, you know, and I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I remember going to the cinema and watching him swing through the city and going, oh my God.
I almost don't want to watch it again because like, I don't want to be disappointed by the technology.
And actually the technology, you know, it was almost kind of like the technology there. Because weirdly, there is another Batman movie, or excuse me, Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. And it is, and I always remember this from living in New York City because there was like some, it's kind of like a Camden Market in the Lower East Side. And there was this guy who would sell like bootleg videos. And he had like the 80s Spider-Man movie. Uh-huh. And it's the worst thing you've ever seen. You see, like, he's climbing up. You can imagine. He's climbing up a building. And basically, it's a guy like on a guy rope going like this. And sorry, I know we're on radio. Just like swinging his hands. And you're just like, that looks the worst. And like, there was a really old Fantastic Four movie.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and, sorry, this is half-ass research. But I'd have to go back and actually kind of look at it a bit more. But I remember that because then I was like, wow, this Spider-Man movie came out, and you're like, he looks like he's swinging through the city and that's what you remember from the comic book, and you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. And there's the train scene as well that is kind of like amazing. Like when he kind of like stopping the train,
and then
the New Yorkers are all kind of like helping him, and then the Spider-Man becomes a symbol for
the
city.
And I think the thing about Spider-Man, which is intriguing, is okay, so he's, you know, he starts off as a teen character, so he's, you know, as a young person reading it, it's like, and his storylines are, you know, one day he's trying to save New York City, the next day he can't get a date. Yeah. You know, it's like, one day he's like, you know, one hour he's battling with Green Goblin. The next he's like worried that he's going to flunk a test at high school. Yeah. And so it's like, you immediately, you're connecting with these things. So much more.
Yeah, that's true.
And that makes, as a character, it just makes it a lot more. Kind of a lot more interesting. In terms of superhero movies, though, I'm gonna take Christopher Nolan Batman. Christopher Nolan's Batman.
I think that's the best of all time.
Over anything else.
Heath Ledger and Christopher Nolan's Batman. Yeah, for sure. What about you, Oscar? Do you have a preference?
Batman trilogy.
Thanks for
actually.
So we have a winner. I think that's the peak of Christopher Nolan, and I don't think he will ever come back to that. I think he's boring now. But that's a different discussion.
Oscar winner Christopher Nolan is boring.
I love how every Nectar Island comes back to Christopher Nolan. He is not the patron of this radio show. Every discussion comes back to Christopher.
That's true. It was a
we just
full
need
circle.
A Christopher Nolan segment. It's like, you know what? That was our Christopher Nolan segment. So,
it's just because, I think I'm going to go to music, but I think, like, I always like to go back to Christopher Nolan because I can see Lionel Shawak kind of like saying, no, what are you doing to my show? Because he's kind of like, you know, he loves Christopher Nolan.
He's the specter. He's the specter that hangs over.
So we're going to go to music and then we'll be right back.
myself to sleep. Sometimes I get so worried, baby. Now you don't wanna sit down and cry myself to sleep.
Hey,
we're back. So yeah, we're back. We're in the middle of a conversation about Atlanta.
We'll do an Atlanta special next time.
We have not got enough time to get Steve on Atlanta.
We can do an Atlanta special. So there's lots I can go.
You know, but I have to go because you always talk about Atlanta and I have family in Jacksonville. It's not close, but it's close-ish. It's 5 hours drive.
Is that Georgia or is that Florida?
Florida. Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Florida.
I was going to say it's closer than London to Atlanta is. A lot closer.
How many hours driving? I think you lose.
It's not probably maybe 5-6 hour drive. No, it'll be more than that. Like an 8 hour drive.
I remember driving past Jacksonville.
Yeah, there we go.
Do you know what I remember when we drove past? Was we were listening to a New Jack Swing station as we were going through Jacksonville.
Wow, we're dating ourselves again. But hey, you know what? Why not bring back the New Jack Swing?
So. You know, 5 hour drive for America is not that long.
It's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's just like Brazil. You know, like I was born in São Paulo, but I grew up in a city called Londrina. It's like 5 hours from São Paulo, and we're neighbor city basically. So it's kind of like, you know,
Snipping up to Glasgow for the weekend.
Yeah.
Are the roads quite straight in Brazil? I mean,
it's kind of like
big highways.
No, it depends. Like in America, yeah, it always kind of like big highways and then seven strips and stuff. In Brazil, it's kind of like it depends. From São Paulo to Londrina, it's very good. Kind of like it's a highway. It's like straight ahead, and so that's a good trip. But if you go in the countryside, you have like some very shitty
unstable roads.
Yeah. Like, no, it's kind of like so it's hard to cross the country. It's not as easy as in the US, I think, because the US you can without having your car breaking down because of a hole in the road or something like that, or because of you hit the cow or something.
Yeah. you can rack up some mileage.
Is road infrastructure good still in the States? I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, U.S. infrastructure needing some work.
I guess anecdotally from my experience, it was perfectly fine. Last time we were, when I was in the South, which was in April, we racked up a lot of miles. So, but I can imagine the infrastructure probably needs work, and there's probably not enough money to do it. So.
Anything like that.
That's okay. Flying cars are coming in, so we'll be fine.
Self-drive flying cars.
It'd be perfect. Yeah. It'd be great.
But I think like in America, kind of like it's even harder for you to move between cities without a car, right? Like it's kind of like you got Greyhound buses or something like that. But this is very dodgy, isn't it?
public transport is a different proposition in the United States. So,
only New York have something that you can move around.
Yeah, I mean, New York, but then you can get public transport to kind of like probably certainly down the East Coast is all right. You know, trains and buses and things like that. Mm. But I think if you start trying to go west, there is some. I mean, there, but for the most part, you're owning it.
It is a strange sight to see someone walking. People think you are kind of like,
a hobo.
You probably will be after a couple of miles.
Sometimes. I guess sometimes it's not. I don't know. It's kind of difficult because I'm from there, so it's just like. Cars are very much still a way of life in the United States.
It's part of air travel.
Yeah. You know, air travel is very, I mean, you know, it's the coach in the air. The style of air travel is very different in the US, or certainly was. I mean, I think a lot of budget airlines got their ideas from the way that the US airlines run. In fact, it's just a case of getting bums on seats and getting them to the next location. No need for the frills. I think certainly in the UK, and I don't know about the rest of Europe and the rest of the world, but certainly in the UK, it was sort of seen as a real luxury item, whereas in the US, it's a necessity.
Yeah,
you know, the country is so big, you can't communicate, you can't travel, you can't do business unless you can fly quickly, easily, and regularly, and relatively cheaply.
Yeah, but again, the flying cars are going to solve that.
Yeah,
I thought it was teleportation.
There we go.
Yeah, I think defines the country in a sense of like I think it comes from
cultural, you know, things about even like a car is part of the, you know, it's part of the way of life, and it's indissociable for the, I don't know, the individual, you know, in the, in America.
And it's funny because it was just actually driving to take this full circle to back to the beginning of the conversation. Driving my daughter up to the Lake District, so you know it's a 5.5 hour drive, and you know I'm like I like nothing more than driving on the road. Cool. Like, you know,
I love a road trip.
You know, yeah, I love a road trip. I love just, you know, there's a I don't know, there's a feeling of freedom there, whatever, you're in control. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm sure I could spend some time examining it, and we probably don't have enough time, but, you know, getting on the road is awesome.
It's mindfulness, dude. That's what it comes down to. You're focusing on one thing for a little bit, you're
in the present.
You're 100% in the present.
But I think, like, it has to do with, like, finding new stuff on the road as well. Like, you know, eating some, like, good apple pie or something like that in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that doesn't happen going up the M40, I can assure you. It's like, even stopping at a rest stop.
Not even a McDonald's apple pie, because none of them have McDonald's. You know what I mean? KFC.
No, there's one. But when you get further up the M6, there's a McDonald's there. There is a McDonald's.
It's either Burger King, KFC, or WH Smith.
Yeah, or off
Costa.
I thought it was kind of like a list, like Spider-Man or Batman. What do you prefer? Like road food. Yeah.
M&S food. I've got all M&S food.
I don't tend to go for the roadside food. We usually pack food.
Sensible. Yeah. I love nothing than a mini pork pie from M&S food.
I need to ask you a question, and I think like it might sound strange, and you might don't know the answer, but there's a place there called Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Are they all Mormons or something like that? Is that
no? They're Christian though.
Oh, okay, so but they are something, right? Like
they're actually closed on a Sunday.
So
Chick-fil-A.
So that makes sense, because people will be very friendly there and send like to me kind of like God bless you and God be with you and your chicken or something like that. That's very strange.
it's an overtly Christian based.
Oh, cool. That's good to know. You know,
I've never eaten there, so I can't tell you about the quality of the food.
You've just reminded me. Okay, sorry. Christianity, right? And I. What one of the best pieces of advertising I've seen recently is by a sort of online or a Bible app company, and it's a book review of the Bible, and it's like no stars, reviewed by Satan. I mean, it's genius advertising. It is brilliant, and I kind of just went, do you know what? I've got a bit of time for the Christians, considering they did that. I'm all good with that. That's great. That's humor. That's fantastic.
It made you want to read the Bible again.
Yeah, right?
Just because it's kind of funny.
I considered getting the app.
That's amazing, man.
It's very long. Just strap yourself in. You're going to be in for a while.
And that's exactly what the church needs. No advertising. Better advertising. You know, like the different colors or something, like the Vatican or something. The Pope can do some karaoke.
Is it on brand?
cool. Guys, I think we're running out of time. That's a good place to wrap things up. Read the Bible or buy a Chick-fil-A
or do both.
While watching the Batman trilogy for Christopher Nolan.
Sounds great.
Okay, guys, that's it for April. It was a pleasure, and I'm going to leave you with one last song. And that's it. And see you next time.
Obrigado.
Obrigado.
You, babe. So I'm gonna put you down for a while. I said I can't quit you, babe. I guess I got to put you down for a while.